Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that during this fourth Sunday of Easter, we celebrate that Jesus, your Son, is our Good Shepherd. And we thank you for his amazing love that he revealed to us on the cross. And we pray that we would be better able to discern his voice in a world full of confusion and people who often come as wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. We need to grow in our discernment to know what you're asking of us and to hear your voice. And to not listen to the voice of the enemy who is causing so much harm. So grant us the gift of discernment of spirits that we know what is of you and what's not of you. And we thank you again for the care and love you show to us through our Good Shepherd. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So in the confessional at the retreat center at the Palisades, the Archbishop Burnett Retreat Center at the Palisades, where I've done many retreats over the years, there's a faded painting in there on the wall of Jesus the Good Shepherd. It must have sat out in the sunshine or something because it's quite faded, but it's Jesus holding a little lamb in his arms and then the other sheep are around him. And when I go in there, I always look at that picture and I say a prayer, Lord, help me to be a good shepherd in this sacrament, that I can be helpful to the people who come in here and not do anything to be harmful or, you know, set an obstacle in their path. I want them to experience your love because you are the Good Shepherd. And I always like that picture. I've never been able to find one that I can buy. But the Good Shepherd is one of my favorite images of the Lord. So I want to highlight why that is and why it's important for us to understand this image that John is presenting to us today in his gospel. So the first thing that I thought about as I was kind of praying and preparing for this homily was that Jesus is a Good Shepherd because he really cares for his sheep, and he doesn't base his love on us on how we function, but on who we are. And that draws us right into the second reading from 1 John 3. See what love the Father has for us, that we are called children of God, and so we are. And so we want to be living out of our deepest identity as a child of God and not loving people for their function. I remember studying philosophy at the University of Idaho, and there were two people, Bentham and Mill, and they kind of came up with this system of ethics or a philosophy called utilitarianism. And you base the value of people on whether they bring you pleasure or they don't bring you pleasure. And I remember just when the teacher was introducing this concept to us, the hair in the back of my neck stood up because I thought that's exactly the opposite of Christianity, where everybody is created in the image and likeness of God and has an inherent dignity because they're created in God's image. And here you just start to create a society where, well, as long as you're functional and helpful to me, then you have value. But if you don't, then we'll just get rid of you. And we see in our whole history, our sordid human history, with people like Hitler and then all the other dictators, that they operated on that. As long as they saw that they could get something out of someone and they were valuable, but if they didn't, let's just send them off to an extermination camp or get rid of them or do something really harmful to them. So Christian and Catholic doctrine always rests on the truth that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And no matter what a person thinks, we still have to be respectful of that. This person reflects the image and likeness of God. And so we have to love them and not, you know, just love people conditionally. Well, as long as you're nice to me and you do good things to me, then I'll love you. But if you're not, then forget it. You're on your own. That's not how God loves us. And human love is like that. And I can remember a time in my life where, you know, as you're growing up and trying to find your identity, who you are, and the teenage years are kind of confusing. When God broke through, I thought divine love is so much different than human love. And it's not that you don't need human love, but it's often so conditional. Well, as long as you perform well, we're proud of you, you get good grades, you won this contest, or you did well in this sport, then, and that's so often the message our people are getting today, is that as long as you do well and function well, then, you know, mom and dad love you. But if you don't do well, then we're very disappointed and, you know, we don't love you as much as you might think we do. And that's kind of the message of the enemy. And so he's just telling people that their value is based on what they do and what other people think about them. Remember a situation where my grandmother was getting to the end of her life, and I went to the hospital to see her. She'd just broken her hip and was in a pretty bad place. And she said, I don't know why I'm here. I can't do anything. I said, Grandma, you've done a lot over the years. You've been a great grandma. You've loved your family. You're a great cook. Wonderful meals and nurtured us. You've come to all of Joe's basketball games, my wrestling tournaments, my music things. It's time for you just to sit back and relax and let us nurture you and love you. It doesn't matter if you can do anything or not. You're a wonderful person, and that's a lie from the enemy that you don't have any value now because you're laying in a hospital bed, unable to do things. But see how present the enemy is in our society? And he's shaming people and causing depression, drug overdoses, and all kinds of destructive things because we're not going back to 1 John 3. See what love the Father has for us, that we're called children of God, and so we are. And so we, oh yeah, that's, those are nice words. Do we really understand that? That God spared no expense to bring us into his family and wants to help us. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's rooted in truth. He will never lie to us. It says later on when John is describing the good shepherd that the one who doesn't enter by the sheep gate is a murderer and a liar. And so Satan is very active now lying to people. And our society has kind of become a society of lies. It's just amazing how people don't value truth anymore. And even in the media, they present things, and when they're wrong, they don't go back and rescind it and say, well, I guess I was wrong, I rushed to judgment, that was, it wasn't a fact. They just go on, and they don't care about whose lives they destroyed or how much falsehood is promoted through that kind of conduct. And it's just becoming more and more prevalent. People just aren't interested in truth. And as a Christian, we're supposed to, Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. And it is important that people tell the truth and that we all humble ourselves and acknowledge that we're all biased because of our human experiences. And sometimes we're really quick to judge other people and write them off and not give them the benefit of the doubt. The Lord never does that to us. He will only speak words of truth to us and affirm our dignity as children of God. And he doesn't bend the truth. I was thinking too while preparing this homily about the rich young man. And one of the accounts of that story says, and Jesus looked at him with love and then told him the truth. You know what? You're doing a great job following these commandments, but you have too much stuff. And it's interfering with your ability to love people and your family and other things that I'd like you to do. Go get rid of that stuff. And of course, we know that he looked really sad and left. He didn't want to get rid of his stuff. It was more important than people and loving God and loving people. But Jesus didn't bend the truth and say, oh, let's just pretend that everything's fine, because he knew that man was capable of growing in love of God and love of neighbor more. How would you like it if you went to the doctor and you were seriously ill, like you were diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he said, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so you're fine, you're healthy, go off and do whatever you want. You'd be really upset, wouldn't you? You expect him to tell you the truth that, hey, we found that you're really sick and we need to address this. Well, God is the same way. Our loving Father says, hey, you guys, you're really sick. You're not seeking my ways. You're going against my commandments. And you're creating a world full of hatred, division, and it's not going to work out for your good. I created you. I designed you. I know you. I love you. I've redeemed you. Come back to me with all your heart. So Jesus will never bend the truth for us. And he speaks it in love all the time and invites us to change and to address areas in our life where we're not loving God and loving people. Sin. Lastly, the one beautiful thing is that he will seek us out when we are lost. Remember the story about the 99 sheep and one runs off, and you know, which one of you would not go off and seek after the lost sheep? Well, none of them would, because you'd leave the other ones vulnerable and the wolves could come in while you're looking for the lost one. So when Jesus told that story, it really shook them up, because it's like, well, that's not how we think. You know, what's the loss of one sheep? Who cares? I have 99 other ones to worry about. But his love is so radical that it's like, I care about the one sheep, and I've got enough care and protection for all the other ones too. I will seek you out and bring you back to me. And that's why I love that little image, that faded picture in the confessional with the little sheep's there, and he looks so vulnerable, and Jesus is just cradling him in his arms. We're worth saving. Father John Ricardo gave the most amazing Christmas homily maybe 4 years ago, and somebody sent it to me, or I found it some way. And I think he just lost his last parent, either his mother or father, because he said in the homily, I'm an orphan now. And I really feel that. I don't have a mom or dad anymore on the earth. But he used the story of the liberation in Normandy Beach during World War II. He said this horrible, evil regime came in and started destroying people, putting them in extermination camps, and just wreaked havoc for the people in those countries. And all of a sudden, these people came from all over the world saying, you're worth saving. And many of them died just going on the beach. And if you've ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, you see that very graphically revealed. But he said, these people came and said, we want to help you and rescue you from this evil that's come into your country and just destroying you. And it's like the Lord's saying the same thing. I want to come and seek you out and prevent you from being in a bad place and being in harm's way. You're worth saving. I love you that much that I'll go after you individually. And that's what we want in the Catholic Church, is for everybody to have a sense and a reference point of, I know the Lord's love personally, so I'm not looking for fulfillment in human structures or human affection. I have a relationship with him. I speak to him in prayer. I read his word. I receive his sacraments. I also have to love people, but that's not where I'm going all the time to get my needs met, because I know that God's love is greater. And once you get connected with Jesus and he shows you how to be compassionate to the people around you who don't fulfill your needs, so instead of condemning them and just constantly being under a victim spirit, you realize that I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. And why don't I go to God first and allow him to affirm that truth, 1 John 3, that we're children of God, and then allow him to show me how I need to repair damaged relationships and allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing into my family and so forth. But if you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, you're always going to come up empty, because human structures are flawed. Even in the church, I can tell you story after story about how we don't often behave how we're supposed to, and how we betray each other, and how much confusion there is in the church and corruption. You can look around at our political systems and see people are just vying for power, and they really don't care about their subjects and what's going on. And they say one thing and do another. That we could just spend days here talking about all the failures of human support and structures. But when you talk about God, he doesn't fail us. And what did Mary say? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And so she was set on her path because she put God first in her life. And she was listening for the voice of the Good Shepherd and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and mold her. So I want us to pray for that today. The world is filled with confusion. There are many disappointing things we see on the news. And sometimes we can just step back and feel very helpless. And the Lord is saying, stop. Ask for the ability to listen to my voice, not the voice of the deceiver who's very loud and throwing temper tantrums, but be still and know that I am God. Step back and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and know that I am with you, and I will guide you and direct you with what I'm asking you to do for my kingdom. And you may sometimes feel very betrayed by the people around you or even your own actions. That happens too. But I am with you, and I will never do anything harmful to you. So let's pray for that. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are our good shepherd and you love us all. And you have provided everything we need to live a truly devout life. So we just pray that through the gift of your Holy Spirit, you would give us boldness like we saw with Peter in the first reading today, and the ability to turn to you during these confusing times and to hear your voice resonating in our hearts. Come, beloved, you are children of God. I spared no expense to bring you into my family. Walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and allow me to transform your life so that you can overcome evil with good. So help us, Lord, to commit ourselves to you and to hear your voice and to allow you to continue to lead and guide us to a better place and to joy, Easter joy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.